Today, some more CPI number wanging says rates may have peaked for now. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, the Consumer Price Index rose 0.8% in the June 2023 quarter and 6% annually, according to the latest data from the ABS. The ABS said that CPI inflation slowed in the June quarter, with a quarterly rise being the slowest since September 2021. While prices continue to rise for most goods and services, there were some offsetting price falls this quarter, including for domestic holiday travel and accommodation and automotive fuel. Australia's inflation rate eased more than expected in that 3 months to June, reflecting global trends and bolstering the case for the Reserve Bank maybe to pause again at next week's policy meeting. The result was the second consecutive decline in the pace, and the RBA currently expects inflation will return to the top of its 2-3% band by mid-2025. This easing in prices will be welcomed by Governor Philip Lowe, who has put the central bank into data-dependent mode after rising interest rates 12 times over the past 15 months. And expectations are that the result will allow the RBA to stand pat on Tuesday, and that saw the Australian dollar extend losses and the yield on policy-sensitive three-year bonds fall while stocks rose. The sharp drop in headline and core CPI suggests that the current 4.1% cash rate may be restrictive enough to bring inflation down, said Adelaide Timbrell, an economist at ANZ. And this is particularly the case given monetary policy operates with a considerable lag. The Reserve Bank might have reached the end of the fastest interest rate rising cycle in a generation after those softer inflation figures confirmed that it is making progress taming the most acute inflation outbreak in decades. But as we'll see, it's not that simple. Some economists are saying one more rate rise in the coming months could not be ruled out as an insurance against an acceleration in services inflation, which hit its fastest pace in two decades, fueled by the tightest jobs market in almost 50 years. Nevertheless, the share market rallied to a five-month high on the prospect of the end of interest rate rises, finishing 0.85% higher, while the chance of the RBA increasing the cash rate at its next meeting on Tuesday fell to 31% from 54%. Leading economist Chris Richardson said there was a relatively good chance the RBA would not lift interest rates again. He said the ongoing expiry of fixed rate mortgages and the fact that people were getting smaller tax refunds than last year due to the end of the low and middle income tax offset meant enough had already been done to cool the economy. It may well be the peak in rates, but he said it's not the peak in pain. Treasurer Jim Chalmers said he was pleased inflation had moderated. There is still a long way to go to head off this inflation challenge, but today's numbers do show we're heading in the right direction, he said. But Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor said inflation was running rampant and underlying price pressures were among the highest of the world's advanced economies. Given the lags in monetary policy, AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said the RBA had already done more than enough to get inflation back to the central bank's 2% to 3% target. However, he said he expected the RBA would deliver one more interest rate rise at some point in the next few months, given the tightness of the jobs market and persistently high services inflation. The labour market has so far proved resilient in the face of 12 interest rate rises, with unemployment entrenched at a near 50-year low of 3.6%. The low jobless rate has pushed wages growth to a decade high of 3.7%, which the RBA has warned could fuel inflation without an improvement in productivity. And Wednesday's data came after US consumer prices decelerated to a more than two-year low in June, with key measures of underlying inflation coming in below forecasts there. And Australia's CPI inflation follows a report suggesting its economy remained resilient, putting the central bank on track to engineer a soft landing while cooling prices. The pace of inflation has peaked, and is moderating quickly. Wage growth is not excessive, and medium-term inflation expectations are not rising, says Stephen Smith, partner at Deloitte Access Economics. In that context, there should be no further interest rate increases in Australia. Of course, the RBA has moved at a more cautious pace than its global counterparts, having raised interest rates by 4 percentage points, compared with 5.25% in New Zealand and 5 points by the US. The Federal Reserve policymakers are poised, of course, to raise rates to the highest level in 22 years at the meeting later on today. Prices continue to rise, though, across a range of services, with annual price growth for services the highest since the introduction of the GST over 20 years ago. Contributing to the price rises were stronger wages growth and increased costs of utilities and rents, while insurance premiums rose across house, house contents, and motor vehicle insurance. And of course, the electricity hikes have yet to really show in the numbers. The most significant contributors to the rise in the June quarter were rents up 2.5%, international holiday travel and accommodation up 6.2%, other financial services up 2.5%, and new dwellings purchased by owner-occupiers up 1%. Rents recorded the strongest quarterly rise since 1998, reflecting low vacancy rates amid a tight rental market, and rental price growth for flats continued to outpace the growth for houses. Higher demand for international travel, particularly to Europe, with the start of the European summer peak season, led to price increases. Those were partially offset by price falls for travel to Southeast Asia and New Zealand, as prices dipped following increases during the Christmas and school holiday periods in December and January, the ABS said. Fees and charges associated with real estate transfers were the primary contributors to the increase in other financial services. The rate of growth in new dwelling prices continues to slow down over the quarter. This reflects lower new demand as well as material costs easing. But food prices were up 1.6%, and they also rose following the increase of 1.6% and 0.9% in the end of the March and December quarters. This rise was driven by meals out and takeaway foods up 1.7%, fruit and vegetables up 2.4%, and bread and cereal products up 2.9%. A shortage of potatoes due to wet weather in key growing regions late last year has continued to place pressure on prices for potato products, including takeaway hot chips, potato crisps, and frozen potato products. Vegetable prices rose due to some salad vegetables like tomatoes and lettuce coming out of season, the ABS said. And reducing the June quarter rise were price falls for domestic holiday travel and accommodation down 7.2%, electricity down 1.8%, clothing accessories down 2.2%, and automotive fuel down 0.7%. Annually, the CPI rose 6%, with new dwellings up 7.8%, rents up 6.7%, and domestic holiday and travel and accommodation up 13.9%. That's the most significant contributor. June quarter's annual increase of 6% was lower than the 7% rise in the March quarter. This marks the second consecutive quarter of lower annual inflation, known as disinflation, from the peak of 7.8% in the December 2022 quarter, the ABS said. Now, turning to underlying inflation, which reduces the impact of irregular or temporary price changes in the CPI, the annual trimmed mean inflation was 5.9%, down from 6.6% in the March quarter. Annual goods inflation was 5.8%, down from 7.6% in March, and prices for most goods continued to be higher than they were 12 months ago, albeit with smaller annual increases for a range of goods, including food, furniture, household appliances, and clothing. The exception was automotive fuel, which fell 3.6% in the year to June. The annual inflation rate for services rose to 6.3%, up from 6.1% in the March quarter, and is the highest since 2001. This is the first time since September 2021 that services inflation has been higher than goods, highlighting the change from 12 months ago when goods like new dwellings and automotive fuel were driving inflation. Now, price increases for a range of services like rents, restaurant meals, childcare, and insurance are keeping inflation high, the ABS said. And across the capital cities, Sydney increased 1% in the quarter and 6.6% over the year. Melbourne was up 0.6% over the quarter and 5.6% over the year. Brisbane was up 1% and 6.3% over the year. Adelaide 1.1% and 6.9% over the year. Perth up 0.8% and 4.9% over the year. Hobart up 0.4% and 5.5% for the year. And Darwin was up 1.2% and 5.3% over the year, with Canberra at 1.1% and 5.7% over the year. And they also released the monthly CPI indicators for June, which rose 5.4% in the 12 months to June. The monthly CPI indicator has been improved through the introduction of a new monthly gas series. As a result, there have been some revisions to the monthly CPI indicator. The revised annual rise for May was 5.5% and April was 6.7%. Price increases for new dwellings, up 6.6%, were the most significant contributors to the annual rise, down from 8.3% in May and 9.2% in April, and rents increased to 7.3% in the 12 months to June, up from 6.3% in May. The annual increase for the monthly indicator eased in June as automotive fuel prices fell 10.6%, following a fall of 8% in May and a rise of 9.5% in April, the ABS said. So you can see here that the changes to the monthly indicator through the introduction of the new monthly gas series had an impact on the numbers, though there was no revision to the quarterly CPI. Now, the other point to make is that the CPI weights are typically updated each year in the December quarter. That's to ensure that the weights used in the CPI basket reflect contemporary household spending patterns. But they said with the continued increase in Australians holidaying overseas, a partial update of the CPI weights will be implemented in the September 2023 quarter. The partial update will see the weight for international holiday travel increase, with the weight for the other components in the basket adjusted to offset the increase in the weight of international holiday travel. The updated weights will be published as part of the July monthly CPI indicators released on the 30th of August, and there'll also be a comprehensive update to the CPI weights done usually in December quarter each year, and that'll be implemented in March 2024 instead. The weights for the quarterly CPI will continue to be updated in March quarters in future years. So a couple of observations. Sure, the headline number has come down and the underlying has come down a little. But of course, you can see the contention here because it's all to do with overseas travel. And the changes that they're going to make will allow those to have a bigger impact on the overall CPI number. Now, interesting question. What proportion of the population travel? Well, of course, some do, but many don't. Which means that for those who don't travel, they're not getting the benefit of the CPI reductions. And as we've said, and continue to say, inflation is rising very fast, particularly for those on lower incomes. And we are seeing rises in the electricity bills coming through, and also rises in the services inflation. And services inflation, of course, is linked very strongly to wages growth. So whilst many economists are suggesting that we've reached the peak of the interest rate cycle, it's possible we have. It's also possible that the underlying issues that we're talking about here and the concern about wage rise growth may well encourage the RBA to go higher with their rates, because the unemployment rate is too low. And I would remind you again, Michelle Bullock recently said an unemployment rate of about 4.5% is probably closer to what they're targeting. So a lot in play here, and there is some good news, but also not universally so, because there are many households that are not benefiting from cheaper overseas travel now, but are being hit by higher childcare costs, higher food costs, and higher rents. But I also make this point that, of course, the inflation number's looking backwards, but it's also saying that prices are still rising. They're just rising a little more slowly. So we're not seeing prices fall across the board. And that's going to put significant pressure on households. And I think those who are suggesting that the pain has yet to hit and will hit further is probably right. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.